You are listening to Kapiti Poets, a programme highlighting both established and up-and-coming writers of poetry on the Kapiti Coast. Welcome to this episode of Kapiti Poets, funded by the Creative Community Scheme via Kapiti Coast District Council, and also by the New Zealand Poetry Society, and by generous donors via the boosted crowdfunding platform. I'm your host, Ingrid Prosser, performance poet from Paraparaumu, and I'm very happy to welcome to the studio today three students from Kapiti College, which is in Raumati Beach. They're here with Kapiti College teacher and fellow poet Nicola Easthope, who has contributed to this programme several times before. Amelia Nelson is in Year 13, and James Rahman and Felix Struber are in Year 12. Welcome to you all.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, Thank you. It's great that we were invited.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for coming. Our listeners may remember that I spoke with Amelia and James in the first series of the programme. I'm very glad that they obviously enjoyed themselves sufficiently to want to come back. Thank you, you two. I'm looking forward to hearing their poems and finding out how much they've developed as poets over this past year. They've brought with them Felix, who hails from Germany and is here as an exchange student. Whereabouts in Germany are you from, Felix?
I'm from Munich, right outside of Munich.
Ah, great. I've been to Munich once. Yeah, nice. I spent one or two nights there. Can't quite remember.
It's a beautiful city.
Yeah. Yeah. What I saw of it, I really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Lovely. So a question for James, first of all. In the programme last year, you talked about how meeting new people causes you to change and develop as a person, and that your poetry is naturally affected by that. How would you say you have developed as a poet over this past year, and what sort of part are relationships with others playing in that development?
I think recently, I say recently, like past 8 months or so, I've steered away from sort of relationships or personality type poetry and steered more towards conceptual or emotional poems. Like if there's a concept I think of that interests me, I'll write something about that concept, or if there's an emotion that I'm feeling, I'll use poetry as an outlet to charge that emotion out. So currently, like my friends and family, they often don't have an impact on my poetry. They have an impact on my personality, but I often have writing in its own little bubble.
Yes. Yes, I understand that. That sounds great. I mean, you can sit anywhere and think of a thing, a concept, a thought you have about something, and just see how you go with it. Do you ever just start writing, just getting a few words down, and then see what flows from there?
Sometimes what I do is I often start with images in my writing. So if there's a particular image I think of, or like a series of words that sound nice together, then I'll write those down and then see what comes next.
Yeah.
And then see if I can build something around that.
Yes.
So even if it's not like a fully fleshed out concept, or if it's not an emotion I fully understand, I'll just put something down, and then that can grow by itself.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds good. Okay, well, shall we have a poem from you now, James?
Yes.
And you'll tell us something about it first.
Yes. So this poem is called Saturday Island. I wrote it while watching the sunset of Kapiti Island, and it was just the way, like, everything was, like, all the colours I saw was, it just inspired me to write. And so I changed the name to Saturday Island because make it more, like, more neutral.
Hmm.
But it was about Kapiti Island.
Great.
Mind-warping ocean, looking right back to the sky. Glistening violet waters, I wonder if I can go back. Moonlights are beaming down to the waters below. Black sand apart in the green stream. I wonder if she had looked back. Skies watercolored, painted with passion and soul. The light in the middle is brighter. The sun is the eye of the sky. Stars are the same ones, watched as we met, loved and lost. If I could go back to see her, the clouds are the dust of the past. Saturday Island across from the shore. mountain surrounded by plant life galore. I long to live across from the island, longing for something to watch.
Lovely, thank you. Thank you very much. So, a question for Amelia now. In the program last year, you said that a lot of your poetry was inspired by things that you heard people say or things your friends had done. Do you still find yourself very much inspired in that way?
Yes. In the poems I have today, I can think of two lines that were directly taken from other things, which is... there's one poem which is called I'm at a Loss for Words.
Yes.
And that is just directly... I heard the phrase in my head, I'm at a loss for words, and yeah. I immediately went, how can I have that line in a poem? How can I... What can I then do with that, with the metaphor of the words or with loss? And I thought that would just be very cool, and that's what made me write that poem, and then write a few poems following that.
Great.
Got me very in the zone. And there's one line which is here at the beach, which was taken from a haiku that my friend wrote quite randomly. I was
yes.
like, I was like, oh, I want to write a story that's like at the beach. And then it reminded me of that line when we were writing haikus. And I thought, that's interesting. But I have, yes, definitely found that as much as I try and take myself away from that and try and particularly write more fictitious poetry, that there are still parts coming through of what I've heard and what I've noticed that I just always make their way make their way in there that are based off of facts.
Yeah, that's great. That means that you're particularly tuned in that way to, you know, with your hearing sense.
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you'll be the sort of person who would sit on a bus with your ears naturally open to pick up what you're hearing around you.
Yes, I spend a lot of time on buses and I do hear a lot of things.
Yeah, right.
It is a very fun thing to do.
Yeah, great, great. Okay, well, let's hear two of your poems now because they're quite short, aren't they?
Yeah.
So will you introduce them?
These poems in particular, these two, were when I was trying to write more fictitious poetry when I was looking at writing short stories and thinking how can poetry be a medium for that as... you know, trying to take, instead of like often poetry is inspired by nature or feelings, trying to fully like have these things be fictitious and not try and be based off of real life, which in some sense they have a bit, but these are fictitious. Yeah.
Great. Lovely.
Just felt the need to claim that, you know.
Yeah, I'm quite relieved in a way.
There are implications to these these poems.
There are, aren't there?
Which
few
should not be there. Yeah, these are entirely fictitious. Okay. Here at the beach, there is a girl in the sand. Girl, friend. She pours sand down my legs through her fingers like she would as a child, and it sticks to one side of my skin but not to the other. I have forgotten to sunscreen it. Her hat blows away. I go and get it, jumping to squash the cap against the ground. It's sandy now. She can't put it on her hair. See? See. Our legs meet under the waves. I like the water. I'm concealed. There is only our heads bobbing between the waves. My skin is red and blistering now. When her fingers press into my skin, I only feel pain inside and out. So that was There Be Seagulls. And the second one is La Relacion. Sometimes there is a boy and I hold his hand. He tells me about things. And I let him tear my face in two and pull apart my brain and consume my consciousness. And then he asks if I had a good time. Yeah, he says. I love you. I love you too. And I open my phone and see two souls converged into one and think of all those times I've longed. For more, for different.
Thank you. Great. So, Felix, when did you start writing poetry and how did it come about that you did so?
I don't exactly know when I started, but I've always loved rhyming. It came very natural to me. Even when I was a little child, I played with words, rhymed. And yeah, it's kind of in my family that we write poetry. I have some family members who do similar things. And yeah, my first longer poem, I think, was a couple of years ago. I wrote it for my grandfather, I think, if I have the chronology right. But yeah, then I started writing more and more, and yeah, I've been writing for the past 3, 4, 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, great.
4, probably.
And presumably all those poems are in German?
Yeah, so all of my poems are in German until last November, December, something like that.
Yeah.
And I had, last November, I had a line of, I think, 1 or 2lines and rhymes come to me, basically. Mm. And I wrote them down, and then I turned them into a poem. And since then, I mostly wrote in English.
Right. Well, that's very interesting. So, and how long have you been in New Zealand on your exchange?
Yeah, so that was 2 months before I came to New Zealand. I came to New Zealand on the 28th of December.
Right, right. Okay, great. Excellent. And have you been a reader of poetry as well as writing?
Yeah, I've been reading poetry, not so much, like not a lot, but I definitely did. Again, poetry my family wrote, or my uncle wrote.
Yes.
And then 2 particular poems I read and that also inspired me were The Raven and Annabel Lee by Edgar Allan Poe.
Right, yeah.
I discovered them through books and other stories.
Yeah.
But yeah, since then I've read some poetry, Poe and some German writers.
Yes. So your English is very good.
Thank you.
And you have an American accent, which I'm interested in. Where does that come from?
So I can only assume that's because of my family. My father lived in the U.S. for 2 years when he was, I think, between the ages of 12 to 14 or something.
Yeah.
And my mother went to the U.S. when she was my age, around 16 or 17. Mm. And also went there basically for just a year abroad and went to school there.
Yeah.
So that's how that came into my family.
Right, interesting. Okay, well, shall we hear a poem from you now? And you're going to share your longer poem with us later, but we'll have the shorter one now. Great,
yeah, why not?
Lovely.
Yeah, so this is actually the first longer poem, and by longer poem, I mean poem that's not in haiku, that I wrote that is not rhymed.
Yes.
And I actually wrote it inspired after I started listening to your podcast, and your, in the first season, your episode with Aparna Taylor. And I listened to that, and that kind of inspired me to write this poem. Yeah.
Excellent.
I was standing at the beach. Yeah. So the poem is called Lonely. And it goes, lonely, not alone. Walking along the beach. Walking in the sunset. Lonely, not alone. Alone, not lonely. Feeling the spirit of the moving sea. Feeling the wind in my hair. Alone, not lonely. Alone, not lonely. Breathing the twilight's tranquility. Breathing the cold, the fresh seaside air. Alone, not lonely. lonely, not alone. Seeing the light of the moon on a stone, seeing a canoe on the water. Lonely, not alone.
Thank you. Yeah, lovely. Beautifully read in the feeling of this. I'm sure Epirana would appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, Amelia.
Yes.
Yes. What sort of songs are you listening to these days? Are you still inspired by song lyrics and lines of plays?
Yeah, I'd say so. Not directly into these kind of poems. There is actually one, thinking about it now, which does have similar lines to a song that I've forgotten the name of now, but that wasn't a particular intention. But yes, I'm still very much acting and doing drama and then having those lines in my head. Mm. But there hasn't been any particular inspiration from those as of recent, but those lines do take up a big part in my life and my head, you know, getting songs stuck in your head going.
Yes.
I feel like that happens to me more than definitely other people I speak to, that I will have things playing in my head just instead of, I don't know, whatever other people have. Silence. Which I don't think they've really come up into my poetry as of late, because I haven't been writing that much poetry as of late. There's been these shorter ones I've done recently, and then there were a few longer, more like classic nature-y rhyming poems I did a few months ago.
But you never know when some of those song lines might come in.
When inspiration will strike. Yes. But I do expect that I will continue to get inspiration from songs and plays and things, as that is something that is always in my head.
Yeah, yeah. Great, great. Well, let's hear your next two poems now.
Yeah, so these poems, the first one's called The House Poem. Again, to clarify, this is a complete story and fictitious, and there are no real world connotations here. I want to build a house, and so does a man. He wants to build a house with me, a home, he calls it. I draw up the plans. There's one extra room for my work or his. He laughs, nods, and writes nursery on the piece of paper. I tell him I don't want his children. We fight. He kisses me all over. I cry into his arms. In 15 years, we will be a family, and I know I can't keep putting it off. I can't, but I hate this man. Yeah, looking.
So glad that's not.
Yes. No, I was looking at narratives and how I can have like short stories or whatever, which I've been trying to write more of recent, and in the form of poetry or like short verses or whatever.
So it's like a mini
yes,
short.
It's
story.
A mini short story.
Yeah,
it's like
very
a short story.
Very effective.
The second one, I will actually note the title of that, which is Eleison, which is Have Mercy in Latin?
Greek?
It's one of those languages. That is actually, that title is a line from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which is a play I'm doing in drama. I completely forgot about that. But yeah, that is a line that my scene partner has, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, which means like to have mercy, kind of. In particular, this poem, and there's another one, two other ones, which have the idea of like, kind of visual body gore, kind of, which I was also kind of looking into, how I can do that sort of visual writing, which is not something I'm particularly good at, so I wanted to have a go at that. So this is Eleison. How is it that I long for more when I know I am complete? Complete. A word coined by those who choose to ignore the hole in their abdomen, empty but for the bugs eating out their soul from the inside. But maybe the hole is a part of my imagination. Maybe it is all in my head.
Thank you. James, what are you reading these days? Have you discovered any new poets?
Well, I've looked more into sort of what Amelia was, more into songs, because for me that's like something I can like put on in the background. Like a lot of time reading a poem, that is like my focus in the moment. But I can put on a song in the background, not put my focus into it, but still absorb it.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, last time I mentioned Lord Byron.
Yes.
He's cool. I still like him.
Yeah.
But yeah. But it's just like people I see on Instagram, like poets posting, like reading stuff. And yeah, it's a lot of just general like hope and faith. Very positive poems I read about like the beauty of like the normal human life.
Yes. Yes. Great. Great. Okay. So would you like to share your next poem with us?
Yes. So this next poem is called Mad Painter's Dream. I wrote this, again, like Amelia, I was going for more of a narrative structure, more of a storyline, because, yeah, other stuff has been, like, emotions or concepts and stuff. This is more of, like, stuff happening. But it's not really much of a story. It's more of an emotional arc that this character experiences over the period of the poem. So, yeah, it's called Mad Painter's Dream. And it goes like this. I watch the ground beneath my feet push away from me as my world begins to fade in the distant space. All the time I left behind, paths I walked before, and I think what was it for? Some mad painter's dream. I always searched for more in the hope that my years weren't to waste. I always yearned for more just in case all my tears went to waste, just like my hopes. Will the blues your mother held in her eyes still glow? While I know that she can see through your eyes, my child. Is your smile still looking up? I hope your hair still curls. Lights above can't replicate the shine inside your eyes. I never hoped for more, because I know that my years were for you. I always longed for more, just in case all your dreams went away, just like my hope. The lonesome stars that burn away seem to blend in like the paints. Window turned into a canvas. Brushstrokes of a universe. I can see your eyes so clear in the dust of space. A million suns, a billion worlds, how am I alone? Cosmic swirls of life and time, dancing in my eyes. See your smile in the light of a supernova. Why did I search for more? Did I think you had gone forever? I'll always find you there, gentle brush of a mad painter's dream. Out there was you.
Nice, thank you. Yes, I particularly liked the window turned into a canvas, brush strokes of a universe. Yeah, lovely. Thank you. Lovely images. So, Felix, how are you enjoying being on the Kapiti Coast?
I enjoy it a lot. So, the nature here particularly is very, very different from what we have in Germany. And also, yes. The weather is it's more consistent over the course of a year. It gets less cold and less hot, but yeah. I really like that. And yeah, just living basically right next to the beach is new for me, kind of, but very, very exciting and also inspiring. Yeah.
And so the poem that you read before, the lonely poem, that was written on one of the beaches here.
Yeah.
So which beach was it?
It was written in Ramati South at the beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is that where you're living?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, nice. I can imagine you there. Excellent. Being inspired to write that poem. Yes, lovely. So let's have your next poem now, Felix.
Yeah, so I wrote this poem at around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the evening, at night, on the beach. And I called it Pulvis et Umbra Sumus. That's Latin and a quote from Horace, from his odes, and it means, we are but dust and shadows. And yeah, I found that title to be quite fitting for the poem.
Excellent.
Listening to waves hitting stone, pondering about me being alone, standing at the lonesome shore, losing love would hurt me more. Wandering over empty beaches, in the dark, oh, what it teaches, You can learn more about yourself by watching nature, not bookshelves. Listening to earth and water. Nature's mother, nature's daughter. Could teach you a million times more than you could be taught by any man. When I stand here looking at wood, giant logs that maybe once stood more than 1,000 miles away, I have nothing more to say. Looking at rocks, I am humbled. What short time that men have stumbled over the face of the earth. What is money even worth? In this short time that we're granted, in infinity's enchanted happenings of the universe, we are nothing but a curse. Nothing but an anomaly, not even worth mentioning. Not more than another valley, not more than any other thing. That's on one hand. On the other, it's a wonder we exist. Millions of coincidences, one thing different, we'd be missed. If we're looking at it that way, I will choose the wondrous side and be thankful of every ray that the sun gives off its light.
Thank you very much. Well, we've nearly come to the end of the program, so we will go straight on to some more poems from Amelia now.
Yes, so this poem is called The Little Bug. The bug is a metaphor. I think what it's a metaphor for is different for every person, though. I know what it is for me. In my hand there is a slug. He comes from a bush. My sister handed him to me. And now I go through life with my palm outstretched. He has no name. I feed him nothing. Yet he somehow has the control over my own life I long for and weep about at night. The next one is called I'm at a Loss for Words. This poem was written much earlier than all the other poems that I've shared, but I think it very much sits at the end of these poems, like as the last instalment. I'm at a loss for words, clawed from my throat for others to use. My words, I cry, my voice, silenced by them who silenced them, until there is just one voice and only one word heard.
Thank you. Well, it's been super to talk with you. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming into the studio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you, Nicola. In a moment, we'll finish with one more poem. Firstly, I'd like once more to say thank you very, very much to our generous and supportive funders, the Kapiti Coast District Council for the Creative Community Scheme funding, which comes from Creative New Zealand, the New Zealand Poetry Society, and individuals via the boosted crowdfunding platform. So we'll finish with another poem from James.
So this poem is called Rings of Millennia, and it's about how short human life is compared to, well, nature. Standing all alone in silence, whistling through the leaves, I can see the years of solace given out to all. Your old roots are showing, but you haven't lost your charm. The gold days are over, still your life is far from calm. The rings on your fingers tell me you've been round a while. The things you've seen here surely bring about a smile. My time is nothing next to you. I'm just a fleeting moment. For just a second of your life, you can see me clearly. But how much longer will you stand? I think our time is coming soon. Perhaps I'll watch your final days, how long eternity can last. Still, I will always wait here, a clock that counts millennia.
You have been listening to Kapiti Poets, a programme highlighting both established and up-and-coming writers of poetry on the Kapiti Coast.
This program was produced at and first aired on Coast Access Radio with support from New Zealand On Air.